What's going on, Sky Town? Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. My name is James Kay. With me, as always, is your co-host, Chris Pennant. Chris, game one of the WNBA Finals. The Sky come out on top, 91-77. What a game it was, man. We had so much sports happening on the South Side, and for once, it all turned out okay. How are you feeling about where this Chicago Sky team is at right now?
They're in a great position. I think it's their finals to lose, and I don't know if I would have said that. In fact, you asked me, and I didn't say that our last show, because I thought that they still had some things that Phoenix might be able to take advantage of. But as we're going to get into later here, their depth showed itself as the game went on. The Sky's shooting and ability to execute their offense showed as the game went on. And they've got to win two more games. And I think that they can close that out at home.
It was such an incredible game yesterday because, one, I just got to give a shout out to Phoenix right now. I'm at the game. I'm reporting on the game, or this series, I should say. And I had a chance to be in the media section for it. And they just put on one hell of an event there in the Footprint Center. They really turned it up. That fan base is so, I don't even know how to describe it. They're so rowdy. That's a really rowdy fan base. They got a lot of fun traditions, like at the free throw line when opponents are at the line. They announce Azrae Stevens is shooting two free throws, and they all scream back, missing two. Like, if they have such a fun vibe there. But even with that atmosphere, the Sky were just clearly the better team yesterday. They started off a little bit slow. And one of the things that you noticed in that first quarter was that there was clearly some pregame jitters. They admitted that in the postgame press conference afterwards, where they just were, they're not overwhelmed by the moment necessarily, but they just played like a team that was just adjusting to being game one of the WNBA finals. And Kalia Copper had a really funny quote saying that, yeah, we all had jitters except for Candace, which I just loved. But this team looked ready after the first quarter, and they went on that 24-4 run that kind of, like, again, the rest of the way, both teams didn't really outplay each other necessarily. And yeah, it was just that second quarter that carried the Sky throughout it. But, like, do you actually feel like this is the better team compared to the Mercury? I mean, I know they battled with the Aces last round, but that's a tough task. But to me, the Sky were the better team yesterday, and they just look more complete than the Mercury do right now.
Yeah, I mean, they are. They have their starters working. Everybody is pretty much at full strength, you know, with regard to the wear and tear of the season. Obviously, nobody's at 100% at the end of the season, but the Sky's roster is as healthy as it's been all year long. Phoenix has still got Taurasi at limited strength, limited output. They'll have some people back on Wednesday, but, you know, they're still missing Kia Nurse.
Yeah,
that's big. Kia Nurse played really, really well against Chicago this year, and having her alongside Skylar Diggins-Smith when they play those lineups is really tough to defend. If you have a lineup where you can put Diggins-Smith, Nurse, Taurasi as your backcourt, and then maybe have Bree Turner with Brittany Griner up front, that's a really mobile five that still has some size down low, and it's hard to chase three guards around with that speed and that craftiness that those three players have, because you can always slip Kia Nurse back to the three-point line to get a clean shot somewhere. So losing Kia Nurse hurts Phoenix's offensive capability a ton. And the Sky, for their part, they're not missing anybody. People haven't had their games of a lifetime other than Kalia Copper, but they're playing well enough to give the team wins and execute in key situations.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, man, because Kia Nurse is someone that would have guarded Kalia Copper, who looked unstoppable yesterday. She put up 21 points and had 10 rebounds, five of them being offensive rebounds. Kia Nurse is someone that might have slowed down Kalia, even though we haven't seen her outside of that game three in Connecticut where she looked off. She's really been the motor for this team all season, and in the playoffs. So I'm with you. It's going to be a real uphill battle for the Mercury the rest of the way. They are getting Sophie Cunningham back. Sandy Brundello said before game one that Sophie Cunningham almost made her finals debut in game one, but that they were playing it safe and that they're just going to bring her back in game two. So hopefully that, well, not hopefully, but for them, hopefully they'll have Sophie Cunningham back and give that bench a spark, because they really only went seven deep yesterday, and they didn't really get much bench production. I think the bench went 3 for 15 from the field yesterday. Kia Von, outside of an okay first quarter, just looked completely overmatched the rest of the way. She cannot keep up with that front court, and it's going to be I think they're really going to have to play like Brittany Griner and Brianna Turner 35, 36 minutes a game, because if they don't, Kia Von just has no answers for the Sky, whether it's Stephanie Dolson, Candace Parker, Azaree Stevens. It's going to be that's just a really tough matchup for her. So when you have, again, no bench, and again, Bria Hartley, you got to give her credit for being able to come back. But even Sandy Brundello said that Bria would even tell you that she's not at 100% and that she needs a couple more months to get back to be at 100%. So I don't know what Phoenix is really going to be able to do to slow down the Sky, because those aren't things where you can just snap your fingers and everything is okay. We're talking about having a depleted bench, and I guess the only thing that you can really do, again, if you want to play BG and BT more minutes, I guess that's something you could go to, but you don't want to tire them out as well. So, I mean, in your mind, what's the thing that the Mercury need to do to make this a series again?
Find what matchups they can exploit. They got a lot going kind of in that pick and roll where the screener dives to the basket. The Sky have a lot of trouble defending that, especially when Steph's on the floor. Connecticut used that in game four, I think it was. It was game four, where they were able to get Alyssa Thomas matched up against Steph, and she could not guard the roll down to the basket. And Phoenix had some success with that in the second quarter or the third quarter. It's not something that you can really utilize all game, but it would force James Wade to go back to the starters more often. And if they can find ways to really exploit that matchup, then they'll have more success. I think that they have to get players playing over their head. Shea Petty's been awesome. And it's so good to read all the stories. I didn't realize how much of a tough time that she's had. Yeah. I just knew that she had gotten cut a few times. But they've got to have her play even better than she has been, which is hard to ask of someone, I think, who's playing as well as she is. But you might need more from Shea Petty. You got to have Brianna Turner just dominate down low. It's a lot. See, all of these things that I'm saying in my head, it's just like, these are low percentage chances of these things happening. You know, it's the way that the Sky have game planned is good. And so they're preventing a lot of people from maximizing what they can do. I think that you'll get more from Taurasi, who is playing, but has still looked great and could look even better just with being in the rhythm of the game and whatever necromancy that they're employing to keep her playing. And Skylar Diggins-Smith, she was really good against the Sky in that heartbreaking loss in Chicago. And she's just a tough player. So if you say, hey, the three of y'all have to come bring us in, then they're going to at least do what they can to do so. And I didn't miss Brittany Griner. I left her out just because the way that she plays and the way that she's been playing in the playoffs and throughout the regular season, you just get BG more her touches and say, go score. She had 20 points, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, only 6 rebounds. A lot of that is the function of the Sky crashing the board. So I think that might be another area that Phoenix looks at. They want to try and dominate the rebounding, especially with the post players that they have. But it's hard when you ask me that question, like, what can Phoenix do to get back in this series? I don't know. I really don't.
And the thing is, I feel like the Sky can even go up a level. I really do. I even asked Candace Parker today, like, what has been the difference? Like, do you feel like after yesterday's performance, you scored 91 points, but Allie Quigley went 6 for 17 from the field And, you know, when you give her wide open look, she's going to make them. She shot 45% from three this year on like something crazy, like four or five attempts. And she said, you know, I haven't even seen a game this year where I think that we've even come close to our ceiling. And I haven't seen that complete game from us, whether that's on the offensive end or the defensive ends. And I kind of agree with her to a certain degree, outside of maybe that Lynx game back in June when they start that, where they really started to go on that win streak. But yeah, I mean, again, Allie Quigley, she missed a couple of opportunities coming off a flare screen, and she usually makes those. She led the entire league in points coming off of screens this year. And if she gets going and you just see everything else come together, maybe they get a little bit more from Diamond, who didn't, you know, she didn't like see any opportunities on the offensive end yesterday in 11 minutes of action. I kind of think this team could, again, the offense could click more than it did yesterday. And Skylar Diggins-Smith also really hasn't shown up too much in the playoffs. She's shooting 39.1% from the field and 34% from three. And oddly enough, 70% from the free throw line. So,
wow.
Yeah. And that's in 23 attempts too. So, you know, I kind of just think that if she's scuffling a little bit, she was the reason why, like you said, Chris, that she's the reason why the Mercury were able to come back in that game and Kia Nurse hit that half court heave. And you have all these question marks surrounding the Mercury, and I don't think there's an obvious solution like we've already talked about. And if Steph Dolson does what she did, like what she did yesterday, where she comes off the bench and plays as physically as she did against Brittany Griner, and, you know, you can give Azaree Stevens a little bit of room to breathe. Look, the Sky stock is going up and the Mercury stock is going down just by the situations both of these teams are at right now.
That's definitely true. I'm glad you brought that up in terms of the physical play. I want to ask you, if you are a coach or a fan, is there anything over the top in how players are allowed to defend Brittany Griner? And I ask this because I watched a play where Candace put two arms up and pushed her off of her mark before she got a pass. And she still came up and got a nice baby hook. So this is going on in basketball, probably since basketball was invented. There is a player who's the tallest on the floor, and because of the sheer fact that they can dominate the game, the referees allow contact a bit more liberally than they might. But do you think that it's correct officiating in that sense? And do you think that it's going to change as the series goes on?
No, I don't think that is fair to Brittany Griner by any means. Contact is contact, obviously. And if you get hit, you get hit, and you should be going to the free throw line. That's, to me, that is pretty, I hate that for all basketball players that have to go through this. And to me, I think the thing that the Mercury really need to do more is give her more opportunities down low. I think that she had a couple of shots outside of, you know, 5 feet or less that you would kind of wish that she would opt out. And she's proven that she can hit some of those mid-range or turnaround jumpers, but at the same time, they just got to feed her the ball inside. There's no reason why they should have been outscored 48-32 in the paint yesterday and only have 7 second chance points when you have someone like both Brittany Griner and Breonna Turner. Those two, I believe, and again, I haven't looked this up beforehand, but I do believe they both were in the top 7 in rebounds per game this year. Those two are some of the best rebounders we have in this league. And for them to get swallowed up by these different looks, I don't know. I think we just have to see, make this guy play in the half court when, I mean, again, the Mercury do not want to play in transition. They had the 10th slowest rate in terms of seconds per possession after a defensive rebound, and the Sky forced them to play their game yesterday, and you just can't do that against the Sky. We already have an example of this, Chris, from last series when Connecticut forced the Sky to play their game. They had an advantage, and when the Sky got out on the break, Connecticut did not have an answer. So they have to get more touches from Brittany Griner inside and slow the pace down. I also don't think it's as simple as being like, okay, we're going to slow the pace down. The Sky know how to manipulate this. This is what James Wade does best. And I don't really see how the Mercury are going to be able to recover from that. So to answer your question, no, it's not fair for Brittany Griner to get those touch, like to get hacked as much as she might have. That wasn't something I was necessarily looking at yesterday, but she needs to get more touches down low, and this Mercury need to slow the game down in order to get her those touches.
I think some of that is just a deficiency that is something that Phoenix can't rectify, ergo the absence of Kia Nurse and Sophie Cunningham. With Skylar Diggins-Smith, she's not only a good outside shooter, jump shooter, but she's a slasher. She likes to get to the rim, get to the paint. And so when you lose floor spacers like those two players, then the driving lanes to the basket are cut down. The Sky can sag off a little bit or go under screens at some points in time and live with the outside shot if she's not hitting it. So when you take away that part of her game, then naturally Phoenix is going to lose points in the paint. And the Sky have done really well at doubling and helping on the players in the post like John Quill. They've gone up against, wow, think about this. They've gone up against Sylvia Fowles, John Quill Jones, and now Brittany Griner, three of the best bigs in the league, and have to some degree contained them to the point where they have not changed the series at this point. Now, this is a game where we're talking about game one of the finals. So there's potentially four more games to go, depending on what happens. But BG had a solid game, 20 points, 6 of 6 from the line. But again, only 6 boards. So you take away that part of her game, somebody who can get a double-double each night when sufficiently engaged and not thwarted by the other team, like the Sky did on Sunday, that's solid. That's not a game-changing performance.
100%. It's going to be – they're just going to need more from her. And they're going to be out of the series pretty quickly if the front court just doesn't show up. And again, Brittany Griner still showed up yesterday to a certain degree, right? I mean, she scored, 20 points yesterday. She had – let me just pull up the box score real fast.
20.6 boards and 3 assists.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the type of game that we've come to expect from her, especially this year. And I don't necessarily think that she was the problem yesterday. It just – this team looked tired. This team looked tired. The Sky had – they traveled to the West Coast early just so they can get a leg up on travel. And they're a deeper team. And it really was just that simple yesterday. So I don't really know what the Mercury are going to be able to do to turn this thing around. But they have to come up with an answer by Wednesday, because that's when this next game is coming up. One thing that I want to quickly mention before we wrap things up, Chris. Courtney Vandersloot – you know, she looked like a little gimpy yesterday, and came in the third quarter, so they had a lead already, and she didn't come back in for a little bit. She ended up coming back in the game. But just in case anybody saw that, I didn't watch the broadcast since I was at the game, but I talked with her today, and she said that she's been dealing with a chronic foot injury, and that
okay.
So it's nothing to worry about, that she probably would have been able to go immediately back in if the Sky needed her, but she... because they had a lead, they decided to give her some time on the bench. So I thought that was important in case that was mentioned on the broadcast at all. But Courtney Vandersloot is okay to go. She'll be ready to go for game two as well. And that's just something that she's been dealing with. Chris, we kind of breezed through this, but is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I'm very interested to see how the Mercury bounce back in game two, because that's what we talked about after the game. Game one of the semifinals versus Connecticut, right? The Sky were coming off of a long stretch away and a long stretch of playing basketball every other day. Connecticut had a long rest since they were the top seed. They hadn't played, I think, in 9 days. And there was the whole rest versus rust argument. But they got smacked in the mouth at home in game one. And so we wanted to see how they responded in game two. And remember, even though Connecticut lost that, won that game, we both agreed that the Sky just kind of faded at the end. They just ran out of gas rather than got beat. They were tired, but they kept that game close through 35 minutes. So Phoenix, for their part, has to respond. They absolutely have to respond even though they're hurt. These are experienced players on their team. Sophie Cunningham, it's what, her third season in the league? They know what the deal is. You know, Dee was on that finals winning team in 2014. BG was there too. Bree Turner is a player who just, like you said, needs to get some more touches, needs to affect the outcome of the game more. But I'm very interested to see how Phoenix bounces back, how they change up their offense or even their lineups with Sophie Cunningham coming back in, how much she'll be able to play. I just want to see what happens. I really do want to see what happens. And Chicago, for their part, they can't play exactly the same because they had that opening quarter. And they had a really bad stretch in the end of the game where the bench came in and they had to sub the starters back in. So Chicago's bench has been one of their weak points in the playoffs. And that group has to play better when called upon. But it's going to be a very interesting game, too, because both teams need it. Both teams really need it. Phoenix has to go back to Chicago tied, and the Sky, they're less desperate, but sweeping the series would just imprint their legacy on WNBA history so deeply that I think that they would need that. They need that game too. It's big. It's really big.
The WNBA history thing is something I've already started to think about for one, an article with the podcast that comes out after this finals run, because I think it's an interesting discussion about how we look at the league moving forward. But let's talk about that a little bit later when there's more we still have a series to talk about here. And so do you have a prediction? Do you have like an outcome that you feel comfortable with putting out here on audio, Chris, on our podcast?
I think the Sky win. I do think the Sky win. I'm not going to say, no, you know what? This is a place for opinions. I think they sweep the series.
Ooh.
And I think that they win game two by 7 points. I think it'll be close. I don't think it'll be an 80-point game for both teams. So I'm going to say 88-81 because both these teams can score. Cunningham coming back gives them some pop. And I mean, Dee has just been lighting it up from outside these entire playoffs. So I think Diana Taurasi has a nice game. They get BG more touches. And it's a back-and-forth game until the final quarter where the Sky pull away. So 88-81, they win game two. They come back to Chicago Friday night, and they close it out and hoist that young trophy.
Young! I'm with you. I do think that this is going to be a closer game. Having Sophie Cunningham back is going to be a big deal for the Mercury, obviously. You never know when she's going to go off like she did last series. But I'm kind of with you. I kind of think that this – I don't think the Mercury really have a true answer for this team. Again, Allie Quigley shot 3 for 11 yesterday. You cannot expect her to miss open shots. That is a big X factor to me. And we're not even talking about the Diamond to Shields element to this, where again, maybe we shouldn't be expecting like big games from her offensively as much anymore in this playoffs. And again, expecting it, not to say we'd be surprised if we saw it, just in saying we can't put Diamond down for 8 to 12 points every night necessarily. And if they get even just a little bit from her, and they, again, Steph is able to do what she did yesterday, even cut her points, but like to like 8 or 9 points, I do think that this team is in a real good position to honestly break out the broom, Chris, bring out the broom to sweep.
Bring them out.
But you know, look, we also saw that the Mercury looked like they were going to get swallowed whole by the Aces at one point last series. And
that's true.
And anything can happen. You can't count out Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner necessarily, and Skylar Diggins-Smith. I mean, honestly, we should reorder those to a certain degree. But this is still a series. I just really like where the Sky team is at. And honestly, they were just so calm at practice today. They just feel like they are ready for this moment. So I'm excited to see what happens in game two. I'll be reporting from Phoenix on game two. So yeah, be looking out for anything that's coming out of that. And Chris, anything you want to plug or add before we end the podcast?
Read my man James in the Tribune.
Oh,
if you don't buy the newspaper, I respect that, but you know, steal some money from somebody else so it's not your money going to the paper or something like that. read it online, break the paywall, but this is big time, man. We got both the Chicago papers finally covering the team at a critical time, and James is the guy putting words to putting words in print. So pick up that Chicago Tribune all week long for my man's stories. Do it. If you don't do it, we'll find you. You know who you are.
Chris, you're, oh my God, you're too nice. I am flustered now, but the only, hey, all I'm going to say, just make sure go to the Chicago Tribune Sports and just like it on their page, because it's important to show that they should be caring about the WNBA in the Chicago Sky. So that's the only request I would have in terms of that, but I appreciate you, Chris, so much, man. And I'm excited to see you for game three in Chicago. So, you know, this is going to be a really fun series. And I guess the next time we'll be talking about it, man, will be potentially the Sky being up 2-0 or heading 1-1, heading back to Chicago for this time. This team did what they needed to do, stealing one in Phoenix. So, Chris, always great talking with you. And let's be in contact about it all.
Let's do it, man.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. If you could take a few moments to rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it. And if you want to contact us, you can always do so by emailing our mailbag, which is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. One more time, that is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. And if you want to find us on social media, you can go to the episode description. We have all of our handles listed there underneath the episode summary. So check us out there if you're looking for more content from us. Skytown, game one in the books, two wins away from the Sky's first WNBA championship. We'll definitely go over game two after the conclusion of the second game. So be looking out for another podcast from us. But until next time. Thank you.